In the name of God who creates, redeems, and sanctifies. Amen. Please sit. I feel that I need to begin by being honest about the fact that when I looked at the readings we were going to have for today, I was really, really, really not happy about it. These are not the readings that I would have chosen for today when we celebrate graduating seniors and when we gather for a picnic to share in joy and fellowship. This is not quite what I had in mind, but that is kind of life sometimes. And it's what has been served up, and with God there is always good news, because God is good all the time. Anybody know that saying? We're gonna do that right now. I feel like, Bob, you should know this. When you walk around the diocese, there's a camp saying that we say an awful lot. Someone will say, God is good, and everyone responds, thank you, and all the time.
God is good.
Great, let's try that again. God is good,
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And so there is good news in these readings, too. There's good news here for graduating seniors, and there's good news here for all of us. No matter how much older we may be, as long as there are days that stretch before us, while we live and while we breathe, there is work to do and joy to share and love to give. Now, you might remember that last week we heard a few stories about Jesus getting himself into trouble, which he is remarkably good at, usually by doing the obvious sort of good thing, the kind thing, the compassionate thing. He breaks rules in order to heal people, to feed them, to include them, to remember the community, and by that I mean to put the community back together, piece by piece and person by person. This text that we have from Mark today comes very quickly after the text that we had last week. There are one or two more stories in the middle where Jesus continues to make people mad by doing the simple, obvious, kind, good thing. You might argue the right thing. And what Mark is doing here, in part, is setting up again this struggle between good and evil, between right and wrong, between people who care about the world around them and want to help and want to make sure that the rest of the world is okay, and then the people who don't really want to do that and would rather just make sure that they themselves are okay. People that are really only interested in their own journeys and their own successes and their own freedoms. Mark is drawing the line between God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world, one that is interested in love and the other that is only interested in itself, in its own growth, in power and privilege and status and wealth. And so in the text today, by the time we find Jesus here, still pretty much at the beginning of his ministry, he has well and truly gotten himself in trouble. The crowds are so big, and they keep getting bigger. That's what we get in the very beginning of the passage. The crowds are so big, and they're pressing in on him so much that he and the disciples can't even eat. Literally, it's eat bread. They literally can't feed themselves. There are more and more people coming to see him, more and more people who are believing in his miracles, more and more people who are beginning to wonder how it is he can do all these things. And remember, in some ways, the ancient world was different than ours, and the ancient understanding was different than ours. But in many ways, people haven't changed. So in some ways, it's actually fairly similar. Some people were afraid of Jesus and of where his power came from. Mark seems to suggest that some of them are, let's be kind and say, worried about Jesus and his sort of mental health, his place in the world. We will be kind and say that they're worried, because who he's claiming to be and what's slowly becoming clearer about him is only going to provoke more and more naysayers, more and more people who feel threatened and who don't want to lose their place in the world. And then we get this really sort of tough story at the end of the gospel. This was, by the way, the first text that I ever had to preach in front of my mother. So you can imagine how fun that was. There are a lot of people that have spent a lot of time over these thousands of years trying to explain what Jesus is doing here. There are a lot of people who have tried to make it seem less cold and less callous. But the truth is that he is, in fact, drawing new lines around family and community. He is signaling a change for him and a change for us. A scholar that I trust wrote an article about this last week in which he translated it more as his people than his family, which I think helps a little bit. But there's really no escaping the fact that his people came to him and he did not go out to see them. The point of this story, though, the good news of it, is that what Jesus is trying to do is say, look at this kingdom that I am building here. These are my people right here. These are the ones who are gathered around me wanting to do God's work, wanting to be part of the mission of love and care and inclusion. And it means that if we would go and be part of his kingdom, if we would choose to follow him and be with him, then we too will have people wherever we go. We will never walk alone, because there will always be other people ready to help, ready to join us, ready to support and struggle and celebrate with us in the name of Jesus. This movement, this kingdom, it gives meaningful work to each of us to do and good people to do it with, even if the rest of the world may not completely understand what it's about. In the epistle this morning, we have this interplay from Paul between believing and speaking. I believed and so I spoke. We believe and so we speak. Do not lose heart. The text is trying to focus us on two themes that resonate profoundly with the gospel this morning. And the first is that if you are part of this movement, you must speak and act. When you see injustice, when you see someone suffering or hurting, when you see someone excluded, we who believe in love must speak up for it. We must insist on it every day, as often as we can, making sure that the world around us is changed by this love. It is both that simple and that complicated. The wild belief that you, just you, can change the world. Not with any big, powerful tool or secret knowledge, not with power and might, but with love and compassion and kindness and welcome and mercy and forgiveness. With little acts and big gestures, some may be seen and noticed, but most never noticed, never seen, never acknowledged. It is the narrow road, and it is the one that leads us to fulfillment and joy. And the second theme where the epistle sort of echoes the gospel this morning is that part where it says, do not lose heart. There are days and seasons and times when the world makes us want to not believe in this and in everything else. It can be a tough place. And no one gets it right all the time. Not one of us wins every day. And sometimes, as Jesus finds out this morning, and many times throughout his journey, doing the right thing comes with a cost. Sometimes even the people we love most or who love us most don't understand the choices we make when we choose to love, when we choose to do the right thing. But Paul, in this place, and Jesus in so many other places, tells us not to lose heart and not to be afraid, because you know the truth. And as John the Evangelist says, the truth will set you free. If you move forward with love in your heart, if you live into your baptismal covenant, if you seek and serve Christ and all people and respect the dignity of every human being, if you build justice and show kindness and love mercy, then you find the goodness that God intends for all of us. And there is nothing in this world, not a thing, that is better or more permanent than that. So if we can peer through some of the obstacles in the texts today, it has some very practical advice for us. Speak up. Speak up for yourself and for others and for the sake of love. Offer respect and dignity and kindness to every single person that you meet. And wherever you go, remember that you are God's beloved. Do not lose heart. Each one of us has been baptized and claimed, and so God's love goes with us everywhere. You can't run away from it. You can't do anything to lose it. It never leaves us, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what mistakes you make, no matter how long it's been since you've darkened the doorstep of a church. You cannot wipe it off, and you cannot shake it off. God's love will always be with you and in you. It is the air that we breathe. It is the very blood that pumps through us, and it is ultimately what lets us find life. So do not lose heart. What is permanent? What does last? What we find consistently in our faith is that it's the promises of God that sustain us. And so today, on this day as we gather, for each one of us, it is love that sustains us. Love from parents and family and friends and church. Love from the people with whom we share this journey. And love from God who gives us all these things. This love is a gift. And elsewhere, the Apostle Paul promises us that it never ends, no matter what. So whether you are a graduating senior or that was maybe a little bit of time ago, with each day that we are given, we are reminded of the love that lives within us, of the love that beckons us home, back to each other, back to God, back to this place, back to this table. And each day, we should be reminded too that our arms were made to stretch out and offer that love back to the world, to welcome and to give, and to help to build that kingdom that is based on justice and kindness and mercy. Amen.